Thank you, Pastor Haney. And praise the Lord, everyone. Would you lift your hands with me and let's worship the Lord together? Praise be thy matchless holy name. Hallelujah. 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 Glory to God. Blessed be thy matchless holy name. Thank you, Lord Jesus. God bless you, and you may be seated. Well, it is a great thrill to be here in Stockton, California. California is one of our most beautiful states in the United States, and Stockton is one of our outstanding cities, and certainly this church. My, how I love this church. I love you. And I love to be with you. But I refuse to come out here unless at least 50 get the Holy Ghost in a day's time. I won't come for less. So we've got at least 13 more to go tonight. But I believe more than that's going to receive the Holy Ghost tonight. Let's just give the Lord a great hand praise. Hallelujah. Glory. Hallelujah, hallelujah. You know, there's some places you can go. If they wiggle their little finger, you can go home very satisfied. But we expect more than that out of you. Hallelujah. I'm so glad that Brother Haney has arranged a rest day for me. I was needing some rest. I've been in a lot of conferences lately. And can you believe he told me to rest today? Take it easy. Well, I just visit you once in a while, and you folks have to live with him, so I'll just get a few folks praying for you in my absence. Well, it's good to be busy, isn't it? Good to be busy in the Lord. So happy to see friends from other parts of the country, from Oregon. My, what beautiful people in Oregon and Washington, up in that area. Recently was in a prayer and Bible conference. I'm up in there, and the Morgans, Kansas, I've been with them, I think, in the last year. And we had a great time. Good to see you, Morris. God bless you and friends that are not members of this church. It is so good to be with you today. We did have a wonderful time in the Asian service. Some of you was here this morning, I think. Maybe not very many of you, but some of you was here in the morning service. But we had a great time in the Asian service. And in order to save a little time, why, I just preached in the Thai language, which happens to be just as easy for me as speaking in English. I am very fluent in Thai, and I enjoy working with the Orientals. One thing is that we have so much in common. Come up here, Brother Bun Thiam. I want to show you how much in common we have. I love Brother Bun Thiam. He's a good man.
I love you too.
And he loves me too. God bless you. I told those Asian folks today that they ought to appreciate the way I looked, that I was wearing clothes that had been made in Asia. I told them about going after this particular suit that I have on right now. The tailor's was even a little bit smaller than Brother Bun Thiam, believe it or not. And when I got there, they were having themselves a time. Two of them. One of them had got in one leg of the trousers.
And the other one had got in the other leg of my trousers. And they had put my coat around them. And unexpectedly, I came in. They were terrified. And I looked so mean. And then I laughed real big. And they were so relieved. I came into the airport one time, Brother Haney. And they, those porters that carry baggage, you know, they assumed that I was a tourist like everybody else. And so they were having this tremendous conversation concerning me. They were saying so many things. They decided that I was very rich. Appreciated that. But I ignored them as if I could not understand them. And then finally, I walked over to them and looked so mean and in perfect Thai. I said to them, if I was going to ridicule somebody, I wouldn't choose someone that had a bicep as big as your waist. And they went pale. But my laugh always fixes everything. And all of them followed me all the way out into the parking lot. Praise God. Well, it's good to be in the house of God. My voice is a little bit ragged and rough, but actually the Lord has performed a miracle. I got up Saturday morning and I could not speak at all. And I intended to have someone call Brother Haney and tell him, I just cannot come. I've been preaching so many conferences and my voice is gone and I cannot come. But the Lord spoke to me that He would touch my voice. My voice is not perfect. It was a lot better this morning than it is right now. And I've had a little normal use today. I have enough voice that I can speak to you. And I believe the Lord is going to fill more with the Holy Ghost. I believe folks are going to be healed by the power of God. Are you glad for the power of God? I do appreciate this beautiful group of men here on the platform, Brother Godine and the choir and all of these tremendous, accomplished singers and musicians. I love Brother Seagraves that gave me the invitation to come. Appreciate him. Heard him teaching this morning on the radio. Boy, you could get lazy here, couldn't you? You know, it's such a big crowd here, it'd be hard to see everybody. You could listen on the radio and then pop up a little later and say, hey, I enjoyed that good lesson this morning. I feel the spirit of discernment coming on me. Hallelujah. Well, I didn't have much time this morning, so I'm going to start same place. Is that all right? Acts chapter 2. We had such a crowd around this altar this morning that there was no way that I could get to them. I just could not. I usually make it a practice to pray with every single person that comes to receive the Holy Ghost. But it just absolutely was impossible today with the press around this altar for me to get to those. And there may be someone that was here. You may have been disappointed that I did not lay my hand upon you and pray. But I just could not get to you. It's just impossible. But thank God for the outpouring of the Holy Ghost anyhow. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Had beautiful, beautiful participation from the church. And that is so vital and so important. There's nothing hinders an altar service more than someone with the Holy Ghost standing and looking on as a spectator. Nothing. Nothing could happen to us that is worse. 10 sinners couldn't hurt us, but one Holy Ghost filled indifferent saint can kill us. But we had beautiful, beautiful participation this morning. And we thank you for that. And I would hope that that would happen again here tonight. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Acts chapter 2, beginning with verse 1. Having a little problem with my glasses, I broke them. And I bought these in a drugstore for $8.88. But I think that's my Bible right there. Praise God. Acts chapter 2, verse 1. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord. Power. Power in unity. In one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind. And it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire. And it sat upon each of them. And they were all, everybody say all. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them the utterance. But Peter, verse 14, but Peter standing up with the 11 lifted up his voice and said unto them, ye men of Judea and all ye that dwell at Jerusalem, be this known unto you and hearken to my words, for these are not drunken as ye suppose, seeing it is but the third hour of the day. But this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. Let's look at Joel and see some of the verses that he was reading from for his text on the day of Pentecost. Joel chapter 2, verse 21. Fear not, O land. Be glad and rejoice, for the Lord will do little bitty things once in a while. Is that what it says? Oh, no. For the Lord shall do great things. Verse 23. Be glad then, ye children of Zion, and rejoice in the Lord your God, for he hath given you the former rain moderately. Those things that are recorded in the Acts of the Apostles, as great as they are moderate compared to what God wants to do in the day that you and I live right now. Hallelujah. For he shall cause to come down for you the rain, and the former rain, and the latter rain. Verse 25. And I will restore to you the years that the locust hath eaten, the canker worm, and the caterpillar, and the palmer worm, my great army which I sent among you. And the next few verses is where the apostle was quoting or reading.
from the book of Joel on the day of Pentecost. Would you lift your hands and let's really pray and ask God to perform miracles and fill with the Holy Ghost tonight. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. 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 Praise be the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. I worship you. I honor you. I adore you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We have seen a very beautiful demonstration of the power of God today. The Bible teaches us that one single soul is worth the entire world. No doubt there has been many that has repented of their sins in the morning service, the afternoon service, and then many we know received the baptism of the Holy Ghost. The best we can tell, approximately 38 have received the Holy Ghost in these two services. I'm expecting God to demonstrate in this service tonight. Hallelujah. How many right now? How many have come tonight desiring to receive the Holy Ghost on the bottom floor on the right over here? Here's one. There's one back there. Praise God. Here is another. Any more over here on my right? What about up in the balcony on my right up here? Anyone coming desiring the Holy Ghost? All right, what about up here in the balcony on my left? Would you raise your hand, please? I can't see you. Is someone in the balcony raising their hand? All right, somehow I'm missing. There you are, way up there. I see you. God bless you, too, up there. What about on my left over here on the floor? Here is one. God bless you in Jesus' name. Anyone else? Here is one back here. God bless you, my sister. Hallelujah. How many, Brother Haney? Seven or eight at least. Here is one back here. All right. Two back here. At least seven or eight or ten. Praise God. Wouldn't it be wonderful if the Lord would fill all ten of these with the Holy Ghost tonight? That's exactly what He wants to do. He wants to fill all of them. And I'm going to make a little prophecy. There's going to be more than that. The time we get here, just talk about the Lord here a few minutes, there's going to be more than that. Receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost. There's going to be a few of you out there that didn't raise your hand. It's going to change your mind. The Holy Ghost is going to reach out there and get a hold of you and bring you into the kingdom. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God is in the business of demonstrating His power right now as never before. We're seeing a tremendous move of the Holy Ghost in the United Pentecostal churches. And even outside of our ranks, there is a tremendous move of God. We ought to rejoice in this. We ought to recognize what God is doing among us. Can you say amen? Amen. Sometimes we lose the blessing of the Lord because we are blinded and cannot see what God is doing. But He is pouring out His Spirit. I told them this morning, and I want to tell you again just to inspire your faith. Just my neighbor, my neighboring pastor in West Virginia, Brother Ed Harper, called me just a short time ago, and he was in time of revival. He said, "Billy, we're just baptizing so many people. I need you to come over and help me." And I said, "Well, brother, we're in revival ourselves, and we only got one night off." He said, "That's all I need, just one night. Come on over." I said, "Well, I planned this and that and the other, but nevertheless, we shall come." And they had to move out of the church. The church would see a maximum of 300 people, and their Sunday night service would fill that sanctuary up. And this was not on a Sunday night, it was on a Saturday night. And there was such a crowd that we could not move into the church. So they put out 650 folding chairs in the gymnasium, and we moved over into the gym.
And I didn't preach very long, but when they gave the altar call, 100 people came to receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Praise the Lord. We put them in four rows across the front of that gym, and they're still just standing together. And there still wasn't enough room. So we had one whole row right back the middle aisle all the way to the door. And within some 40 minutes or so, there was 77 of those people received the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Praise God. And before that revival was over, over 300 had received the Holy Ghost, and 300 had been baptized in Jesus' name. What does it mean, Brother Cole? It means that some of the things that God has been doing in Haiti and Thailand and some of these countries overseas, God is ready to do it right here at home if we'll believe it. God is doing it all over again. Hallelujah. And I know that you folks believe that. You've been indoctrinated with this message. You've heard it for years and years. You've heard revival preached. You've heard the power of God preached. You've heard the apostolic message preached. You've seen it demonstrated. Praise God. And folks, your problem is not in believing it. You must be careful lest you become tired of it. Don't let it become common to you. Every time someone's baptized in Jesus' name, I want to shout. Every time somebody receives the Holy Ghost, I want to shout. I want to rejoice in what God is doing. I've seen it happen a lot of times, but it has never become common to me to see someone. I just got as excited today about those folks receiving the Holy Ghost as I ever have in my life. Oh, hallelujah. God wants to do it. God wants to heal among us. Recently preaching for a church in Mississippi. It was their anniversary of the church. And oh my, they had a big crowd. They'd brought in people from at least two, perhaps three states, had come into that church for their anniversary service, and their building was just packed. Hallelujah. And I thought, well, what better could we do on an anniversary service than a few folk get the Holy Ghost? I like that, don't you? I love to see folks get the Holy Ghost in church dedications. Yeah. I remember dedicating a church way up on the top of a mountain in the Philippines one time. And oh my goodness, I thought I was going to die before I got up there. Couldn't drive the car, I had to walk, you know. Bless your heart. And one Filipino brother pulling and the other one pushing. I finally made it. I almost passed out. They thought I was going to faint, and they took a whole bucket of water and dumped it on me to keep me from fainting. I preached that day sopping wet. It was a brand new church. Only the pastor had the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And there was, I think, 25 had been baptized in Jesus' name. Even his wife didn't have the Holy Ghost. And that day, all of them received the baptism of the Holy Ghost. That's what God wants to do. I said, that's what God wants to do. That's what God wants to do right here tonight. It's fill all with the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Went over to Mississippi. We had a down tour. I think there was 18 received the Holy Ghost in that service. And one of them was a little sister about 40 years old. And she had hearing aids in both ears. And they were the most unusual hearing aids I had ever seen in all of my life. And the reason was, we learned later, that when she was just a little baby, before she was 18 months old, they had operated 6 times on her ears. She had no hearing drums in her ears, and they were trying to create hearing drums for her. And they had brought her to a place where she could hear some things with both of these very special hearing aids. They had some kind of an apparatus attached to them that fit into the ear that was different than the hearing aid we're used to. And she received the baptism of the Holy Ghost. I stood and if I stood right in front of her, you know, she could understand the instructions. And the Holy Ghost came upon her so easy. She was so ready. She was just ready for the Holy Ghost. And of course she could speak. And she spoke in other tongues as the Spirit of God gave the utterance. And I took note down there that she was jumping and jumping and jumping. And I asked someone, what's going on? And she had taken both of those hearing aids off, and she could hear the bass guitar. Praise the Lord. And then she could hear the drums. And then she could hear the piano. And then she could hear the singing. And when she could hear the voices, I'm telling you, she did have herself an apostolic dance. Praise God. Hallelujah. Praise God. And so at the conclusion of the service, when we were dismissing the pastor, Brother Ron Townley, I think he's been out here in California lately preaching some. He stood at the pulpit and he had both of her hearing aids in his hand. And this little sister was standing right straight behind him. She could not see his mouth at all. And he made the remark, now I don't know how old this sister is, and because you just don't ask ladies how old they are, I would hesitate to ask her how old she is. Standing behind him, she said, I'm 46. She understood every word he said. God had not only given her the Holy Ghost, but had healed her ears. Praise God. Now that's the God that you and I serve today. And that God is very much alive today. Hey, by the way, He's always been alive. The difference is you and I are starting to wake up. Hallelujah. He's always wanted to do it. He's always wanted to do it. Hallelujah. He's always wanted to demonstrate His power among us. Hallelujah. 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 We've seen these miracles overseas for so many years, and we rejoice in them. I remember one time when I was in Indonesia, we received a letter from a district presbyter. He was not a member of the United Pentecostal Church, but he was a leader of some 20 preachers in the island of Sulawesi. And the letter said something like, we've been baptized in Jesus' name, and we desire to receive the Holy Ghost, and we do not know how to receive it. He said, even I do not have the Holy Ghost and do not know how to receive the Holy Ghost. And so we made provisions to go. We had to go by train on the island of Java all night long. Brother Andreas was with me, the Indonesian superintendent. He could not speak a single word of English, but we had an interpreter with us so we could communicate. And when we got to the end of that train ride, we came into this huge city. I can't remember the name of the city anymore. But he said to me, now, Brother Cole, there's going to be 800 taxi cab drivers there. And every last one of them is going to want you for the fare. Because when they see you, you're white and you're fat, and they're going to think you're rich. Boy, was they fools. And I didn't know what to expect. But when that train stopped, they didn't even come in the door. They came through the windows like we had driven down into a river or something. Wow, just people everywhere. And everything I owned in the world was in this one pitiful little suitcase and in my pockets. I didn't own nothing else in the world. And you couldn't have got $50 out of what I had in the suitcase. And one of those guys reached for my suitcase. Now, I couldn't speak his language, but he got the message. I beat him to the suitcase and jerked that thing down, and he just went a-spinning. I didn't want to lose it. Where in the world would I get a pair of bitches to fit me over there? If I was to lose them. Praise God. Bless your heart. Might buy a necktie or a pair of socks. And we got out there, and here all of these cab drivers surrounded us like we were at a high school fight. And every last one of them wanting us to go in their cab. They had about, I don't know how many automobiles, just a few, less than 10. And the automobiles were very, very old, but there wasn't a mark on them. There wasn't a speck of dirt or dust. They just shined, Buntin. They just shined. Oh, they keep their cars clean over there. And the rest of them were these three-wheel bicycle deals. Yeah. And they all want me to get in one of them. Are you kidding? I wouldn't get in one of those things for nothing in the world. Lord, I'd have a flat tire, and they'd make me pay for the whole thing. And I didn't know how to choose. Brother Andrew said they're all Muslim. They're all Islam people. All Islam, you know. In Indonesia, that's true. And so I just prayed. And I said, I'm going to take you. And praise God, he had a car. Really, God really helped me. He had an old Ford. And we got in that car. And just as I sit down in the front seat with him. And just as I did, the Holy Ghost spoke to me and said, I'm going to give the cab driver the Holy Ghost. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. So through the interpreter that was sitting in the back seat, I said to him, do you know anything about Christianity? And he said, oh, yes, I am a Christian. Praise the Lord. Out of 800, we got a Christian out of that group. I said, do you know anything about the baptism of the Holy Ghost? He said, oh, yes. He said, I am a member of the Assemblies of God, and I have tarried for 10 years. And I don't know how to get the Holy Ghost. I said, well, sir, you're going to have the Holy Ghost real quick. Because God just told me He's going to give it to you. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. God being my witness, 30 minutes later, sitting in the lobby of the hotel, His hands was just a-going, and He was speaking in other tongues as the Spirit of God. Give the utterance. Hallelujah. Woo! That's what God wants to do. He became a charter member of the UPC in that city. We have a good church there today. We were scheduled to go to the other island, Sulawesi, a very primitive island. Bless your hearts, we had tickets on an airlines that didn't even exist. Who are you going to fuss with? Just had to wait. We finally got over to Sulawesi, and the churches were 150 miles interior. And we had to go on an old bus to get in there. I thought, oh, 150 miles, that's nothing. Just a few hours. It took us 23 hours to go. Oh, that you never seen such an old bus in all of your life. They've never had one in Thailand like it. Oh, the seats were made out of flat
board, you know, and so close. I had to sit like this, you know, get in there. And every time we would come to a river, the bridge would be out, and we would have to get down from the bus and walk to the river. And then he would drive the bus empty through the river, and we would reboard. And we had a full-time mechanic on that bus. He had two carburetors and three fuel pumps. That's right. And every 30 minutes, he'd change one of them. I got so jealous of him because he was so agile. When he would work on the engine, he would sit on his heels up on the fender. And I thought, oh, that would be wonderful to be able to do something like that. But anyhow, after a while, I got so tired. And someone loaned me a great big towel they had. And we stopped for one of the changes. I don't know whether it was a fuel pump or a carburetor. I don't know what it was. But something. And I laid right out along the road, you know. And in this 23 hours, we passed 3 automobiles. That's all. We were out in the boondocks, let me tell you. And so, when I was laying out there, here come this four-wheel drive Toyota, just sailing by. And when he seen me, he slid sideways. I'm telling you, he brought that thing to a halt. I was laying out there alongside on the road. Don't know what he thought I was. And he wanted to know if I wanted to ride with him. I said, well, sure. There's no way to get lost. It was only one road, one way. And there was 4 of them, and they were all sitting up front. And I didn't know just why they were doing that, but when I started to get in, I found out that the back of the car was full of watermelons. So I had to sit and put my legs over the watermelons. But that was better than that old bus. And this young guy must have been about 20 years old, and he had real thick glasses. And he would drive so fast. Oh, he drove so fast. Must have been his dad's car. He drove so fast. And then it started getting dark. And when it started getting dark, he didn't slow up. He just put his face closer to the windshield. And I knew sooner or later it was going to happen. And soon enough, sure enough, here come a whole drove of buffaloes running across the road into a canal that was on our right side. And he didn't even touch his brakes. He hit one of those buffaloes full blast. Killed that thing deader than a hammer. And we headed for the canal. That's right. Up on 2 wheels, right for the canal. And I said, Jesus. And that thing came back. Let me tell you, I was ready for the rapture. Praise God. We've got a few Orientals here tonight. You'll be able to appreciate this. He got out and put his hands in his pocket in front of that car that was absolutely demolished and laughed and laughed. And laughed. The fan was run clear through the radiator. And the oil was running out. Everything. And I didn't know what to do. I would have thumbed if it had been something to thumb. But nothing was coming along. But here come my old bus down the road. The fenders just a flapping. The bus driver was offended at me. He wasn't going to let me back on. But the Indonesians, they loved me, you know. And they pleaded my case. And I got back on, and by the time we got there, I was so tired. There was dust all over us, and I wrote on the back of the seat in front of me with my finger in the dust, I am as crazy as a bedbug. But when we got there, here come a group of those preachers. Their hair was as black as raven feathers. Their eyes were like diamonds. And they said to me through the interpreter, Brother Cole, we have baptized many, and they have not received the Holy Ghost, and we do not know how to help them get the Holy Ghost. In fact, we as preachers, we do not have the Holy Ghost ourselves. I tell you, that's when all the tiredness leaves. Can you say amen? That's when the tiredness leaves. That very day, there was about 56 received the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And throughout that week, there was many more, several hundred. I remember the last day, one of the last days, I was sitting on the altar after a service. I was exhausted. I was just absolutely physically exhausted. And one of the young preachers, about the size of Buntian, Brother Buntian, came, and he was wearing blue jeans and canvas shoes, and someone had given him a leather coat. That's what he was wearing. And he was so excited, he said, "Brother Cole, my church is next." And I said, "Brother, where is your church?" And he took me over to the window, and he pointed 6 miles up a mountain. And I said, "Brother, can a car go up there?" And he said, "No." I said, "Can a motorcycle?" Of course, this is all through an interpreter. He said, "No, a motorcycle cannot go." I said, "Brother, I cannot go." And the Indonesian people, the Cambodian people, are not so emotional. You know, they really clamp down those emotions. And so do the Thai. Any Buddhist is not very emotional. They're taught not to be emotional. And they're taught that when they show emotions that they are weak. All of their life they're taught that. But in Indonesia, they are very emotional. And he fell down on his knees and began to just weep. And he said, "You must go." And I took my shoe off. I said, "Would you just touch the bottom of my foot?" And when he did, his hand was red with the blood of my feet. I said, "Brother, my body is falling apart. I cannot go any farther. I'm exhausted." And he left and came back, and they took a rattan chair, Brother Seagraves, and wired poles on it and carried me 6 miles up that mountain. And 39 more received the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. God is wanting to do these miracles here at home. God is wanting to do it. Hallelujah. I believe we're beginning to learn how to work with God and see these things happen. Can you say amen? God has promised in His Word that in these days, just before the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, that He's going to do greater things than He's ever done before. Let's raise our hands and praise Him together. I worship You, Lord Jesus. And I adore You, Almighty God. Hallelujah. God's Word has promised that out of every kindred, every tongue, and every people, going to make up His bride. Hallelujah. In the early church, and I do not want to reflect on the early church in any negative way, but they did not have the tasks that we have. The known world of that day was insignificant compared to the population and the world today. Jerusalem was one of the 5 largest cities in the world, and their population was 50,000. One of the 5 largest cities in the world. Let me tell you, we're not dealing with little places like that anymore. Can you say amen? And God has promised us a tremendous move of His Spirit. There are nations today. There are nations today that has more people in them. More people in their population than the whole world had when the Apostle Peter was living. China is one of them. India is another that has more people in its population than the whole world had in the time of the apostles. And God's word said, out of every kindred, every tribe, every people, God is going to have a church. Can you say praise the Lord? And there's only one way to get in the church, and that's to repent of your sins and to be baptized in Jesus' name and filled with the Holy Ghost. That's what it takes. I said that's what it takes. Praise the Lord. Praise God. Hallelujah. 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 Praise God. Let me quickly come to a conclusion. Amen. We've started church pretty early here tonight. And I look at my watch, you know, it's just starting time. Praise God. But maybe you all not feeling like that. I love church, don't you? I love to be in church. I'm going to be in church tomorrow. I'm not going to wait till I'm preaching to get over here. I want to get over here and hear a little preaching. Praise God. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, I've seen so many things happen. It inspires our faith. I've seen the elderly receive the Holy Ghost. Praise God. I remember one time I was visiting San Jose, and we had about 20 received the Holy Ghost, and 10 of them were Roman Catholics. That's right. One little sister was in her 80s and had never been in a Pentecostal church before in her life. Never. And she came and began to pray, and several received the Holy Ghost, but she didn't receive it straight away. And I said, "Mother, did you receive the Holy Ghost?" And she was from an Italian background. And she said, "I know speak of the language." I said, "Well, you will." You will. And sure enough, in a few minutes, she spoke of the language. God gave her the Holy Ghost. All 10 of those Roman Catholics were baptized in water in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ in that service. Praise God. One of the greatest services I was ever in was a service where they had many that had tarried for a long time. It was out in Rupert, Idaho. And that service, we went to the service that night. Brother Orion Gleason was a pastor in those days. Precious man. And he said, "Brother Cole," he said, "these are some of the sweetest people I've ever pastored in my life. They just do anything I ask them to do. I could call them in the middle of the night and ask them to do something, and they wouldn't even ask me why. They would just do it." But he said, "So many of them have not received the Holy Ghost." And I said, "Well, dear brother, I've never given anyone the Holy Ghost in my life. But I will preach. And if they will believe me, God is able to fill them with the Holy Ghost." Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. You believe that tonight? And there was an even 30 came. In those days, I used to have them sit on chairs. You know, I was trying to get you all's attention. And believe me, when I done that, I got your attention. I went all across the United States having people sit on chairs. You know, it is Bible. On the day of Pentecost, they received the Holy Ghost where they were sitting. Amen? Well, you all remember reading that? It is Bible. Good. You know, we had so many traditions
When I came home from the mission field, they wanted me to preach here and there. I didn't know whether I could do here what I did in the overseas or not, because we have so many traditions. Believe me, we do. And some of them are good traditions. And some of them are absolutely in opposition to the move of the power of God. There's a couple of you have sat there tonight with your hands folded and resisted me from the minute I've started. I'm not going to let you stop me. Praise God. I came home from the mission field and I seen a man get the Holy Ghost. He really got it. And this is the way he got it, you know. Now, I don't know who started this. It wasn't the Apostle Paul. It wasn't the Apostle Peter. You want me to quit? You want me to go on? I think it was John. John Wesley. Now, he was down on his knees, you know. And one brother, he wanted to help. And he had a hold of his wrist in an absolute death grip. That's right. It's when his hand had to turn blue and die. And he had a hold of his elbow with the other hand. And he was leaping and shouting, "Hallelujah!" And he would nearly tear that poor man's arm right out of his shoulder socket. That's the truth. Y'all getting nervous. And another one, he wanted to help. And you talk about a rub down. I don't know if he was putting him in joint or out of joint, but he was different than when he came. And there was another one, he wanted to help. And he was standing right beside him, and in his ear he was giving him this. And I know the poor man's head was just going like that, you know. Y'all ready for this? And then there was another one right in front of him. He wanted to help. And he put his hands on his head and gave him this. It's a wonder it hadn't have broke his neck. Believe it or not, that guy got the Holy Ghost. Don't ask me how, but he got it. You know what's happened? The devil has stolen our faith. And he has given us a substitute of physical exercise. And physical exercise is not going to substitute for faith. We have got to have faith that God is going to fill with the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Talk about this little sister and Rupert. There was an even 30 came. We learned at the end of the service that two of them were being refilled with the Holy Ghost. And 28 new ones. One of them had tarried for 30 years. One of them had tarried for 25 years. There was a widow that had tarried for 20 years. Another had tarried for 19. And more than 10 of them had tarried for over 5 years. And God and this sister being my witness, the Holy Ghost started with the man that had tarried for 30 years. And he started speaking with tongues. And the Holy Ghost went down that line till all 30 of them were speaking in other tongues as the Spirit of God gives the utterance. Hallelujah. 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 I've seen the strong receive the Holy Ghost. Remember one time being in a church, 21 seekers came, 19 of them had received the Holy Ghost, and
I was trying to help those three. And I'd stopped everybody. Boy, I used to get criticized for that. I wasn't trying to tell the Holy Ghost what to do. I was trying to work with the Holy Ghost. If somebody's going 50 miles an hour the wrong direction, it's best to turn them around in 5 minutes than it is in 50 minutes. Because 50 minutes are going to be farther away than they were in 5 minutes. Praise God. So I stopped everybody and wanted to help those three. And I said, "Do you have a question?" And just as I said that, here was this great, humongous guy come running down the side with his fist raised like that. And I know it wasn't, but his fist looked to me like it was 12 inches across. He really did. He said, "Preacher, I've got a question." And I didn't want him to think I was afraid of him. So I stood up on my tiptoes. Didn't help much, but I did. And I said, "What's your question, brother?" He said, "I'm a sinner. Is there any hope for me?" I said, "Yeah. Sit down right here." Now, I don't know how long it takes people to repent. But within 1 or 2 minutes, that old boy was speaking in other tongues as the Spirit of God gave the utterance. Praise the Lord. Ha-ta-ta-ta-ba-ka-ta-ya. When they baptized him that night, he leaped clear out of the tank. Got everybody there wet. Praise the Lord. And I have seen the weak. I've seen them receive the Holy Ghost with oxygen machines sitting right beside them. Yes, sir. I've seen them get the Holy Ghost when they've carried them to church in an ambulance. I've seen them carry the church in an ambulance and receive the Holy Ghost. Praise the Lord. I've seen the rich get the Holy Ghost. It's over in India one time. Brother Sism had everybody come from the northeast India because we couldn't get there. We had planned to go there and we couldn't get there because of the war. And so we pulled all the money we had, got them over there. And by the time we got those brethren to Delhi, we were absolutely bankrupt. And we didn't know how we was going to feed or house them. 18 of them. And Mrs. Lewis opened up her house. She had this great big house. Her husband was a member of Nehru's cabinet before he died. And she opened up her house. She was a friend. And she was an Anglican by faith. But she opened up her house and fed those men and give them rooms, and we were so pleased. And Brother Sism wanted me to give those brethren a seminar on helping people receive the Holy Ghost. And we didn't have nobody to work on. You know, all 18 of them had the Holy Ghost. And Brother Sism said, "Oh, Mrs. Lewis, she's such a sweet person. I wish she'd get the Holy Ghost." I said, "Well, let's persuade her to come. And see. You know, people's spirits have to be right." And I met her, and I turned to Brother Sism and whispered, and I said, "Oh, if we can just get her to raise her hands one time, she'll get the Holy Ghost. She's ready." So I tricked her. The Bible says, by all means, save some. So I said, "Mrs. Lewis, you have such a beautiful command of the English language." She had went to Oxford University. And her English was so beautiful. And she was a beautiful woman. About 60, 65 years old. Dressed so lovely in the long Indian sari. And I said, "Come and sit close to me. And if the interpreter misses what I say, why, then you can correct him. And my message won't be ruined." And actually, I had a very good interpreter. I just wanted her close to me. And so I said to those Indian brothers, "Let's praise the Lord." And the only way you can get them to stop is to beat a drum. Oh, they worship God. They'd worship God all night long if you didn't stop them. That's right. And so I said, let's worship the Lord. And when I said that, I don't know what she was thinking. She just put her head right down in her face, down in her hands, and just began to shake her head. And I went over and I touched her on the shoulder and I said, Mrs. Lewis, why don't you just like a child, just one time, lift your hands and praise God. And she threw up her hands in her Anglican Oxford way. And she said, oh God, you know that I love you. But that's the last thing she said she could understand. She started speaking with other tongues. Ha! Huh. Praise God. She talked in tongues for a half an hour. Oh, she embraced Sister Sism. She was so happy. And I said, how do you feel now, Mrs. Lewis? She said, oh, but the cold. This is a smashing experience indeed. And I have seen the poor receive the Holy Ghost. I have seen the outcast of the poor receive the Holy Ghost. I was invited one time to a village where 23 men had been baptized in Jesus' name. They wanted me to come and preach to them and instruct them and lay hands upon them. And so I went. And to my amazement, the whole village were lepers. They were so poor. They had no church building. They got one later, praise the Lord. But that day we moved out under a tree and there was a stack of lumber that became their pews. And a fence post was my pulpit. And as I preached to them and seeing their sagging faces, and I seen the Spirit of God move upon them as they lifted their hands with half of their fingers gone and their bare feet, half of their toes were gone. I watched them as they began speaking in other tongues as the Spirit of God gave the utterance. What does it mean, Brother Cole? I'll tell you what it means. Whosoever will may come. I don't care if you're strong or weak, rich or poor, educated or uneducated, weak or strong. It makes no difference tonight, young or old. Whosoever will may come and drink of the water of life freely. God will pour out His Spirit upon you. Not only will He pour His Spirit out upon you, but He'll do it tonight. You can go home with the Holy Ghost tonight. I want right now. I want you, every person in this sanctuary, I want you to listen to me. If you haven't went to the restroom before, please don't go now. I want your attention. I want every person in this sanctuary and in the balcony, if you believe that there is a God, and you believe that Jesus is that God, and you love Him, and I'm not talking Greek here tonight. Forget about agape. I'm speaking in English. And in English, you can love God without serving Him. In the English language. It means you respect Him. That you give obeisance to Him. Amen. And if you believe there is a God, you know the Scripture says you must believe that He is. And that He is a rewarder. You see, if you don't believe that, I can't help you. But if you believe there is a God, and you believe that God is Jesus, and you love Him, I want you to stand with me right now. Would you do it all over this audience? Praise the Lord. Isn't this beautiful? Praise God. Hallelujah. I think everybody here has stood. Isn't that great? Isn't that great? Hallelujah. Now, for the same reason, there may be someone here that's in the Pentecostal apostolic service for the first time in your life. Or at least, you may have never lifted your hands in praise before. You may have never done that before. I want you, as an act of unity tonight, maybe for the first time in your life, I wish that every single human being in this auditorium would lift their hands and praise the Lord with me for the same reason, because you believe there's a God and you love Him. Everyone, let's do it. Everyone. Everyone that believes there's a God. Let's lift our hands and praise Him together. Hatatodomo shandaya. Imama katayabo sotolobo kondaya. Ilalaba hatatalamo sandaya. Blessed be thy matchless holy name. Hallelujah. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 Oh, that's beautiful. That's beautiful. Let me have your attention again, please. I tell you, I want you close to me. I want every single man in this audience, everyone in their balcony. I know it's going to be difficult, but I'd like to have you close to me. We want to see a miracle here tonight. I said, we want to see a miracle here tonight. Praise the Lord. Would every man in the audience, every man in the balcony, would you come and stand with me on this platform right now? Come right on. Every man. Do it. Quickly. Isn't that beautiful? Look at that, folks. Oh, God must do something tonight. Such beautiful unity. God bless you. God bless you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. You're all right, brother, right where you're at. You're perfectly all right right here, brother, with the wheelchair. Praise God. Come right on. Isn't this beautiful? Look at him coming down. Down the sides. Praise the Lord. Isn't this great? This is great. Hallelujah. Now, I'd like for all of you ladies to come. And you folks that's sitting on the front row, except the brother here. I want him to stay right there. But the other ladies, would you move back just a little bit so we can have just a little more room here in the front? We're a little bit short of room. And I want you to move just as close as you can, ladies and children, all over the audience. Would you come just as close as you can and fill in these pews? I want you as close to me as you can come. Praise God. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Isn't this great? You love the Lord, folks? I believe that you do. Just move right in those pews, girls. That'll be fine. Hallelujah. That's great. Ah, my, we've got a mighty big crowd pretty close here tonight. Must be at least 1,100 folk here tonight. And we've got them all real close to us here. Hallelujah. I tell you what I'm going to do. Let me tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to tell you exactly what I'm going to do. I'm not going to do one thing more, one thing less. There's no need for you to be frightened if you've never been here before. No need for you to be frightened. If you have repented of your sins, you can receive the Holy Ghost tonight. And what I mean by repenting, we tell the Lord, I am a sinner. I have sinned. And I want you to take away my sins. And if you sincerely mean that from the bottom of your heart, that will happen to you. Your sins will be taken away. Can you say praise the Lord? Hallelujah. Your sins will be taken away. There's probably some of you repented during the song service tonight. There's probably some repented during the choir. There's probably some have repented during the preaching. Praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And if you have and you haven't yet received the Holy Ghost, you're ready for the Holy Ghost. God wants to fill you. He's already filled at least 38 today with the Holy Ghost. And He's not through yet. God wants to fill others. Now I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I want you to come. And I'm going to give you some simple instructions of how to get through to God. Amen. We're not going to beat you. We're not going to pound you. We're not going to rub you. But we are going to pray the prayer of faith. We're going to pray the prayer of faith and believe God for you. I want every man and every woman that's ready to receive the Holy Ghost. I want you just to come and stand right along the front of this church here tonight. Just come right around here. Praise the Lord. Give me some room. Men, come right on. Amen. Every sister, all you sisters, if you're standing, come right up here, please. Right up here where I can get to you. Amen. Just come with it. Praise God. Come right on. All of you that want the baptism of the Holy Ghost, you men, if you're standing beside someone that needs the Holy Ghost, turn to them and encourage them to come right now. You 10, 7 or 8 that raised your hand, you should be here. You should already be here. Praise God. Come right on. That's it. That's great. Good. Come right on. Praise the Lord. Come right up here. Come right on. That's it. Come right on. Sisters, if you're standing beside someone that does not yet have the baptism of the Holy Ghost, just give them a word of encouragement. Tell them you'll come with them. Come right on. Hallelujah. There's someone right here, right in the middle of this aisle, that wants to come and you haven't come yet. The Holy Ghost is drawing on you. Come on. I don't want to embarrass you. I just want to help you. Come right on over here, brother. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Come right on over. That's good. Amen. Is that everybody? Is that everyone? Huh? All right. The pastor said some of you that needs to talk in tongues again. You haven't talked in tongues for a while. Come right on and be renewed in the Holy Ghost. Let's just spread out just a little bit right along there. Praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. All right. Everyone standing beside you has already received the Holy Ghost. Is that right? They're still coming? Come right on. Let them through, folks. In those aisleways, you're going to have to let them through. Let them through. Come on, men. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You want to be renewed in the Holy Ghost? Come right on. Quickly. Praise the Lord. All right. I want to talk to you. Let me right there, brother. Praise God. I want to give you some simple instructions. First of all, desire with all of your heart. God is a jealous God, and you have to desire Him with all of your heart. Have a fervent, earnest desire in your heart to be filled with the Holy Ghost. You see, when you receive the Holy Ghost, you in fact receive God. God is a spirit, and God is a Holy Spirit. And what happens when you receive the Holy Ghost is God takes a part of Himself and puts it right on the inside of you. When you receive the Holy Ghost, you receive a part of God. You can't get all of Him, but you receive a part of Him. You get enough of Him to fill you up. And we call it being filled with the Holy Ghost. Secondly, I want you to give your total attention to Jesus Christ. I cannot give you the Holy Ghost. I am a teacher. I can instruct you. I am an elder. I can lay my hand upon you and pray for you, and that will do you a lot of good. But I can't give you the Holy Ghost. Don't get your mind on me or anyone else that's here in this room. Get your mind right on Jesus Christ. And if that's a problem for you, just visualize in your mind what you think He looks like. I know we really don't know, but your opinion is as good as anybody else's. Praise the Lord. You might visualize Him coming in the clouds for the church, for the rapture of the church and resurrection. Visualize Him in your mind. Hold your attention right on Him. And thirdly, I want you to have faith that God's going to give you the Holy Ghost. Praise the Lord. When you walk through those doors here tonight, you didn't have it. I want you to believe that when you walk away from here, you're going to walk away from here with the Holy Ghost. I want you to believe that. Praise God. Hallelujah. And because of your faith, I want you to worship the Lord. Don't beg for the Holy Ghost. You know, the Bible calls the Holy Ghost a gift. It's a gift of the Holy Ghost. Christmas has just passed, and there ought to have been at least one or two of you exchange gifts during Christmas time. And if you got up on Christmas morning and found a package with your name on it, suppose I'd been visiting Brother Haney, your pastor. He got me a new Bible for Christmas. Wouldn't that be nice? And had it all wrapped up. I'd see it with my name on it, and I'd get down on my knees in front of him, and I would start screaming at the top of my lungs, "Oh, Brother Haney, give me this gift! Give me this gift!" You know what he'd have thought? He'd have thought Billy Coles went crazy. And that's the way we do God. That's what we do to God. And we humiliate God because He can't answer that kind of a mess. But I tell you what He can answer. If you look up at Him with faith and worship Him. Worship Him. Hallelujah. This little sister's so close to the Holy Ghost, it's all over already. Hallelujah. Praise God. Worship the Lord. Just open up your mouth and say hallelujah. I love you, Jesus. And do it. And all of you saints, I want you to get in here. If you have faith, I want you to lay your hand on them. I want you to pray. All of you preachers, take your liberty. Let's lift our hands now. Everyone together. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus, pour out your spirit right now, Lord Jesus. In the name of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Wait that out there. That's it, folks. This is beautiful. This is beautiful. If you can't get up here close, your prayers will help us.
You've got to have the Holy Ghost. And fire, burning thing.
Let the Holy Ghost speak.
That kind of religion.
We got one here talking in tongues, folks. Praise the Lord.
We're
already receiving the Holy Ghost, folks. Already praying. Hallelujah. 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 Hallelujah.
Yes, now. You've got to have the Holy Ghost and fire.
In the name of
that burning thing. Kind of religion that you cannot conceal. Makes you move, shout, makes you cry. Well, it's real.
Hallelujah.
I've got my hands in the mighty chain. My soul's been anchored. It's the Jesus name filled with sin. You've got to have the Holy Ghost and fire that burns.
The Holy Ghost is upon us for prayer.
That kind of religion that you cannot conceal makes you move, shout, even cry. It's real. I've got my hand in the winding chain. My soul has been anchored in the Jesus name. Free from sin.
Praise God.
I know
Let's
that I
the Lord. Lord,
you've got go. To have the Holy Ghost. That keeps the prayer returning. The kind of religion.
Hallelujah.
You
Hallelujah.
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 Even shout,
hallelujah.
Cry, well, it's
hallelujah.
I got my hand in the love is in Jesus.
Pray for
hope
me.
In Jesus.
You know that I'm the Lord. You've got to have the Holy Ghost. And by that burning thing that meets the prayer with the kind of religion that you cannot conceal. To move and shout and cry when it's real, I've got my hand in the wine and shame. So Lord, Jesus'
name,
I know that I'm filled with
Him. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Yes, I've been born again. I've got to have the Holy Ghost and the fire and that burning
thing. Hallelujah!
That you cannot believe makes you move and shout and cry when you feel I've got
my hand.
Thank you, filled within, free from sin.